our remote podcast edition of First Name Basis, where we chat with special guests, industry leaders, and tribal scale employees to have an authentic but informal conversation on a variety of relevant tech and innovation topics. I'm Heather Page, Chief of Staff here at Tribal Scale, and I'm chatting remotely with Monique Peets, Chief Clinical Director and a founder of Inward Strong. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Monique, and kind of how you got to where you are and your sort of your journey to becoming the Chief Clinical Director at Inward Strong.
Sure. So who am I? Well, I'll start off by saying I'm really tired, yet I am really passionate about helping others. And I'm an awarded clinician, entrepreneur, co-author, an international speaker, health tech innovator. However, I can't share my story or my journey without beginning with the original founder and our inspirational leader at Inward Strong, Paul Rutkowski, who, after working in the Northwest Territories, recognized a huge gap in the system and the fact that the demand for services were super high and they continue to be really high. While the clinical resources were and are continuing to be considerably lower than the need. Paul he's really a pioneer in creating the first ever self-directed mental health and addiction online program. And we formally branded ourselves as the Life Recovery Program, which is an award-winning, simple and practical online program for people coping with addiction, anxiety, stress, and other mental health issues. And it's truly been an incredible journey. We've received awards for addiction, mental health, and innovation, as well as grants. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I have to brag a little bit, we received a Good Sparks grant from Desjardins for our innovation and social impact. And so we just find it so amazing. And it's something that we're really, really proud of. The journey itself has not been an easy one by any stretch. Any entrepreneur knows that. And in those early days, when Paul shared his idea with me and the vision that he had, I jumped on it right away. I partnered with Paul in this vision to help those folks who are struggling with mental health and addiction issues. And we pulled up our sleeves. And in my role, which is I provided support both in content development, shot videos, going to meetings, co-presenting, you name it. Basically, we were both back totems in it. And we just did all aspects of the business to fulfill really his vision and our desire to help those who are unable or afraid to access resources because of the barriers, the stigma, and access. And our journey's been an interesting one because we really kept it as a passion project for a very long time. One that we did actually alongside our private practices. So our clinical background just informed our desire to create something that we knew works in real face-to-face, and we wanted it to provide that support out there because of what I said earlier, the gaps. However, over time, we started to explore ways to build the company just out more, which included rebranding and changing our name, because we felt that the name itself was a barrier to treatment and support in an already stigmatized landscape. Mm-hmm. So after many brainstorming sessions that I'm sure many people have been through, that included, I mean, we looked at like the Latin, the Greek, French, Spanish, all these different places to try to find a new name. And then Paul came in one day and this was like in 2018, he said, you know what? How about Inward Strong? And that was it. Like we knew that was the name and like we were so excited. So from that day forward, we began using the name initially LRP Inward Strong, and we got feedback from some of the customers, friends and family. They were super positive and really validating, which is what you need when you're, you know, basically living in this little tunnel. Mm-hmm. And then we fully rebranded the company over to Inward Strong, and we're still kind of moving and solidifying some things in that regard. But we did this in the fall of 2020. And at that time, we expanded with a full-time team member. And that's Laura, whom you are familiar with, Laura Mel.
Yes, very much so. Friend of Tribal Scale.
The Tribal Scale family, and who is totally awesome. And Paul and her had a long standing kind of connection that was years where, so she was familiar with what we were doing. And she came in, we brought her in as a co-founder of Inward Strong to spearhead a rebuild of the product and help us build up the company. So it's been a marathon and we're in the midst of a sprint. And I would simply say Paul's perseverance and determination has led us to where we are today. on this precipice of some exciting things as we look at the mental health landscape and the really desperate need for evidence-based mental health and mental fitness and addiction resources. So that in a nutshell is the journey. And
what a journey. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. It's, definitely, I think hits all the notes of those sort of classic entrepreneurial experiences, the many hats to doing all the different things. Now I kind of understand the role title I see on LinkedIn as well. It's, you know, what do you call yourself when you do everything, right? And it's always challenging, and even right to the rebrand, which I think is kind of that next phase. I'm curious if there are any sort of high points or low points from that journey. I think a lot of people that listen to this podcast are entrepreneurs, interested in entrepreneurship. And on the journey, there are certainly big challenges. And I think, you know, a lot of the mental health practices about this idea of resilience, what were maybe some moments where you guys either needed to really be in the moment and be grateful for something that was amazing that happened, or really take a step back, be resilient and kind of power forward?
Yeah, that's a great, great question, Heather. I mean, there's so many things I could pull from. In truth, when we started out, there really wasn't a lot of buy-in to self-directed online, anything that had to do with clinical stuff, mental health. So our journey was really like pushing a rope uphill, constantly educating, re-educating. And so our pitch deck, you know, now they say it should be like 10 slides or so long. It was like, it was long because we had to spend so much time explaining how, what the research showed and all that sort of thing. So that kind of became a bit of an energy drain because they were like, we know it works. The research shows it. So it was just constantly pushing against that. And over time, and we encountered a lot of amazing people who came alongside us. And even just, you know, a few years ago, when we were starting to go, let's see if we can get something, someone in to kind of help and really build this out so that it's less of a Paul and I kind of doing it. And we've got someone who can kind of designate more full time to it. We found an amazing person who came on board, and but everything hit the fan. We have, you know, just life happened. For me, I lost my dad in the midst of like early days, and we lost this incredible person because of just some personal circumstances. And so that was a huge blow. And it really, I think it really caused us to just take that step back because we were exhausted because we'd already been, you know, running this marathon. And Paul especially, and he was unwavering in believing that, yeah, this is really something that can make a difference. And I was alongside that too. And I think together we helped kind of encourage each other along, especially given, I mean, all the no's you get. We were thankful we got some yeses in there, and gratitude is a huge part of our culture, which is, I believe, why we are where we are. So when we had the team member who came on board, he was amazing, fit well, had a vision, and had to leave. We were so grateful for the time that we had with that person because he really helped validate. We've had amazing advisors along the way, and friends who just constantly, and family members who are like, no, I believe, I know, just keep going. You're like, how can we keep going? So the gratitude comes from all of these different people who say yes. I believe, because you need people to hold you up in the midst of all of that. And we're not tech people, we're not engineers. So we didn't have all the great advantages that you would have in terms of that network if you were in that space. Mm-hmm. We quite literally come from a clinical space. So we're like, well, who do we know? We don't, you know, so that pushing against that and just standing in faith and believing, I would say is part of the reason why we're still here today.
Yeah, great. That's very interesting for sure. It's what an interesting story. Curious also, you know, COVID pandemic, you mentioned earlier, you know, it was that adoption of digital stuff, doing sort of self-directed online mental health services. Mm-hmm. I can imagine there's been a change over the last couple of years, but has that change been as remarkable in your space as it's been in other spaces? And what does that look like for you guys?
The pandemic has significantly shifted things for sure. So the short answer is yes, there's been huge changes. I would say the biggest change, even just from in the mental health space, I would say clinicians across the board had to go to virtual because of the pandemic. And so as a result, I would say there's much more openness to utilizing online modalities, specifically self-directed. So we see there's a lot of kind of apps out there. There's a lot of mindfulness. There's a lot of when we look at our competitors and in the marketplace, they're amping up kind of what they have. Yet the difficulty is the fact that a lot of them drive you towards a therapist, which we need, but there aren't enough therapists. Mm-hmm. The stats show there's like 30 or less like psychologists for every 100,000 people. So yeah. If we're all trying to create, platforms that move you to a therapist, well, obviously, that's not going to work. We need more. So I would say that there is more openness now. And even when you look at the news, the media, all of that, they kind of really speak to getting on board with resources and supports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've certainly seen that kind of in the Tribal Skill Network as well, this growth of companies in the wellness tech space. And I think spot on, I think we've definitely seen that with the apps for therapy and things like that. And also seeing other things, around neuroscience and other sort of mm-hmm. brain health types of things. But I mean, do you see that the pandemic being a turning point for mental health awareness? Do you think we were kind of already just on this path and it maybe just accelerated things a little bit? How have you seen those sort of mental health industry changes in the last couple of years?
So there's been definitely a lot of changes that have taken place since the pandemic. Before the pandemic, the mental health space was in crisis. There just weren't enough. And now when you look at where we are now, definitely there's been a huge shift in the last, 2 years with the pandemic. Like the system itself is in crisis. So when I think about the turning point of mental health awareness, everyone is now aware that it exists. And I would say it's not that we weren't aware, but I would say that we kind of defaulted into the them and us kind of space. But what the pandemic has opened up is, everyone on many different levels have experienced some sort of loss, whether it's loss of going to the office or loss of personal space or loss of social engagement or through deaths and whatnot. So it has, I think it's created an environment ripe for people to go, wow, I feel low, so I need to do something. And the truth is, if someone's not looking at their mental health, then we're looking at mental fitness. So maintaining a level of emotional balance. So I think that's a huge part of it right now in terms of how people are looking at what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. That definitely tracks, I think, with what we've seen. I think, in the last couple of years, work from home kind of feels like all you're allowed to do is work. So I think, mental health in the workplace has become a bigger and bigger topic. What are your kind of thoughts on where we're seeing leadership and workplace wellness go? And why do you think company leaders should be investing their time in mental health?
The bottom line is that there's just greater need. I think that if we don't invest in the mental health of our organization, of our employees, then what you're going to see is basically what's been happening is, which is a lot of burnout across the board. Mm-hmm. And it really starts, I would say, in kind of shifting the corporate culture. So regardless, if organizations don't step in and start to model like health and wellness, then it is going to negatively impact employees. People are going to struggle more. And so we have to be proactive. Something that I was just kind of noting is that in Canada, there's been a lot of reports around how the pandemic has impacted them. And in a new survey conducted by the Angus Reid Poll, it said in partnership with CBC, 54% of Canadians said their mental health had worsened during the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. And women, us as women, are actually faring significantly worse than men. Yeah. And I would say that it has a lot to do with just the changes, which is oftentimes when we're the ones at home working along with their partners, but they also may have little ones at home, the online, offline with school, or the ones who had to quit jobs or take the leave, lots of extra things to juggle. And so just even if it's kind of like corporations, organizations need to be aware of the fact that the reality is with women, 60% of women aged 18 to 34 said their mental health has worsened through the pandemic. And that number increases with 63% for women 35 to 54. And for men, this is the other thing with men. The overall prevalence of mental illness in men is typically lower. However, guess what? Men are not quite so keen to disclose because of stigma. However, mm-hmm. depression and suicide are ranked as a leading cause of death among men. Mm-hmm. And if we move into just expanding the lens a bit, if you think of whether it's BIPOC, so that stands for Black, Indigenous, and People of Color, or LGBTQIA plus communities, that there's not as much necessary, there's not necessarily as much research that really separates. However, there are a lot of high issues around mental health in the LGBTQIA plus community. They're at a higher risk for experiencing mental health conditions, especially depression, anxiety. So companies, I think, are needing to take a look at their corporate culture. How are we fostering, an environment conducive for people to thrive, especially during this, not even just during the pandemic, but just during all of the things that are happening for people who are very exhausted, experiencing brain fog, all of those things.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned, I think what you were just saying, it reminded me of one of my favorite things I think about the Inward Strong platform, which is the fact that it's not just giving you resources to help yourself, but it also provides people with the resources and information so that they can kind of take that into their world. Like you said, there's a lot of stigma around this stuff. Sometimes there are certain people you just could not possibly get them to go see a therapist or to pursue, this type of stuff on their own. But by having that information yourself, it can empower you to have those conversations and maybe kind of wean them in that direction. How important was taking that sort of maybe wide range or wide lensed approach when designing the system?
Well, thanks for asking. Moved just right around to Inward Strong. Yeah, do you want to know what? When we started this journey, right in the beginning, we are very aware, Paul and I, as clinicians, that when you're looking at one person, there are other people that impact. So in other words, it's important to look at this from a systemic approach. And so what we look at is not just the individual, but the person who cares about them, that's friends, family. And then also recognizing that as much as the individual might need some support, sometimes people are curious. So it's kind of barrier free, I'm going in. And that's kind of the care pathways that we have within Inward Strong that allows someone to go in and choose where they want to, what their need is. So whether it's, I feel I'm struggling, or maybe it's someone I care about who's struggling, or maybe I just want to educate myself on mental health. And in our program, we actually look at various aspects that impact a person. So we also have modules on relationships, stress, trauma. We know there's a lot of that around as well. And so that a person is looking at it in a holistic way. Also, there are many of us who we just want to keep ourselves mentally fit. So there's a path so you can just focus on mental fitness by just engaging in different tips and tools and exercises that keeps you navigating through the quagmire that is life today.